Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. I'm having a Baltimore Positive day. I'm 9 1/2 ounces into my first beer. We're at Nick's Grandstand Grill. I've gotten oysters from P.E. Island. I've told old P.E. Island stories. We're going to tell some stories today. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play, giving away some Betty Boop scratch-off tickets out here at Nick's Grandstand Grill. The weather has cleared. We're in Timonium. It's also brought to you by our friends at Goodwill. My wife has put together a whole closet and a table, and we're still working. It's not even the holiday weekend yet. Goodwill, of course, working on jobs in the community. We'll be telling you more about that. And our newest friends at Window Nation. You know, if you're going to wear your hat like that, hold on a second here. I'm going to wear the new Window Nation hat. Greg Kessler is my guest. He is, I don't know, man, like a longtime friend, lifer friend. I don't even know how to put it. And I'm going to try to get through this thing without either one of us losing our cheese here. But it's good to see you,
great
man.
Great to see you, Nestor.
Tell me what you do and who you are. I know you as the son of my friend who is sort of a wrestling champ. That's yeah. And you're a spirited adult who should work for me and sell. We make $1 million. Work together.
Nestor, it's great to be here, man. Thanks for having me on. So I've been working for Sandler now for about 10 years. It's a sales training organization. So I've worked for the corporate part of it. So I train our clients worldwide and mostly our corporate enterprise type clients.
How to sell.
Yeah, teach them how to sell more effectively, more efficiently, and knowing that going for a no sometimes, because we get a lot more no's than we get yeses, is okay. It's all right. We're not a fit for everybody. And it's a good thing to say to people sometimes.
You know what? At 53, I had this conversation. It's amazing you'd say this, because I could sit here all day and talk about sales and entrepreneurship. I had a wonderful breakthrough conversation this morning with somebody who may join my company. I'm looking to grow my team. I'm looking for a COO to help me run my company after 31 years. I'm also looking for an executive assistant. Chloe's been fantastic. She's my summer intern. She just having her around the last 2 weeks, having somebody I like that's been helpful. I sort of missed that. You know, my wife got sick. I changed a lot of things back in 14 and 15. But the sales part of it and how the world has changed during COVID, right? And
yeah. And
how we can sell on Zoom now and doing all that stuff. But I talked to somebody this morning just about like how to sell and how things are just different than they ever were. And you have to always be learning and always be staying up on how to make yourself better.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you know, sometimes it's really just people right now more than ever want to just talk to adults. They want to talk to other people, right?
Right.
We're in a place
right
now.
See it all over the place, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think for us, it's, you know, to your point, you know, we want to sharpen some existing techniques and some, you know, we always want to, you hear the expression, sharpen the saw. But I think overall, you know, we really just want to help. I think that's the main thing. People
right.
want to be helped. It's sometimes they want to buy. We love to buy. Hate to be sold, but love to be helped. And I think that that's maybe a good landscape for sales professionals. But when I first got into Sandler, where I'd see you, and you might not remember this, was one of those large platforms, right?
Yeah.
And you were like the big draw, man. It was like, I remember I'd see you, and I was always thinking, man, this is the snazziest guy. He's got the baddest clothes on. I'm like, I like this dude.
And I remember you
from the old days, which I know we'll get around to talking
about.
Yeah,
well, I mean, that's the reason you're here. I'll give the whole story. Greg Kessler, how old are you now? I said you're sort of my son's age, right? You're like 30-something?
That's really flattering, Nestor. I'm coming up. I'm 46 this year. Man.
What?
Yeah.
Chloe, he's not 46, is he?
No.
No way.
Truth be told.
Dude, there's no way you're that.
1975. I mean,
you're that much older than my son?
I think so.
Okay, so.
You ever see the movie Cocoon? I went into that. I jumped in that pool and, you know. No.
God.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess the point this morning I was talking about, you were saying some people aren't for you. I've done that in moving my brand from WNST to Baltimore Positive, right? Like, there are some people that just wanted sports and yeah. just wanted a certain thing and wanted to put me in a box or it in a box. And then there are other sponsors that, you know, I wouldn't say our ethics were aligned. You know what I mean? Like, literally, I mean, I didn't really like being their spokesperson anymore because I didn't like speaking for them anymore.
Yeah.
And some of them are gone.
Right.
And you know what? It sucks when you lose a big client. It sucks when
sure.
they fire you, you fire them. I get fired all the time, but you dust off, and when you're
yeah.
31 years, my 31st anniversary doing this, you dust off, and you call your old friend Tommy, and you say, I'm coming out to Knicks, and you're thankful that Leonard Raskin and our friends at Goodwill and Maryland Lottery, new friends at Window Nation, step up and sponsor. There's another opportunity. There's another sale to be made, another relationship. And I think my favorite people are the people I still haven't met yet, right? I mean, right. There's still going to be great people around the corner. And I know you train that at Sandler, that cold calling isn't cold calling. It's sort of warm friend making to some degree.
Yeah, you could look at it that way. You could, and I think that's a great way to look at it. You could look at it as an approach call. You could look at it as, you know what? I have to help someone discover how I can uniquely help or solve a problem they're dealing with. And if you had that mentality, you had the belief, would it influence or impact the way you spoke to people when you really felt like maybe I had the cure for something?
Right.
Right? And that's a difference.
I can help you.
Right.
And I want to help you.
Right.
Right, that.
Right. Yeah, I think my CEO always said this best, but, you know, we also in our roles, a lot of our roles, we get paid to be flexible with buyers. We get paid to be flexible as a communicator. Buyers don't always get paid to be flexible with us. Right?
Right.
And so a lot of times, you know, there's resistance. There's a lot of, you know, folks that, you know, just have a stigmatic viewpoint as to what a salesperson's real role is.
And, you don't look like a sales guy. You look like Bill Murray. And I say that with high praise and high compliment.
I wanted to keep my dad's sort of attire intact. You know, I'm representing my father a lot these days, and I know we'll talk a little bit about him as
All
we
right,
get along.
Well, I want to talk about your dad.
We don't have to shift. But we don't have to shift. But my father, you know, I always used to say, Dad, sometimes it looks like you jumped out of a hamper when he'd go places. And he said, well, I'm not going anywhere specific. I said, but I'm going to be there. And my family's going to be there.
If I called Larry slovenly, would that be too far off? Would that be...
Unkempt?
Unkempt.
Unkempt might be another word to describe.
So I'm going to tell you, do you know how I know your... What do you know about my relationship with your father? Because I spent lots of hours with your father, and then maybe you were running around the stores. I don't know. You tell me, and you give me the era, because the era to me was late 80s, so you were a kid.
Yeah.
You were wrestling in school, and he was very proud of you, right?
Yeah, I come from a very big wrestling family. My dad had a lot of sons. He had 7 sons total, all right? Couple marriages, my brothers and I, my mother and father together. Well, there was 3 of us. My dad had record stores, as you know. And the first time I met you,
I love music, right?
The first time I met you, I mean, he had one on Light Street, he had one on Eastern Avenue. And
I never knew about the one on Light Street.
Yeah, well, that was the first one. Now, that was when we called South Baltimore, right? It wasn't Federal Hill. It was just South Baltimore, right? And these were, you know, you got the
greatest
metal tattoos. Guy was coming in getting his docking, you know, his docking album. He was coming in getting his kicks, you know, he's getting all his, you know. And I would sit there behind this counter with our dog, Mo, which was our Doberman. He was the security system in those days, right? And metalheads, mostly. And he had video games. And at that point, you could have more than 2 video games. So it was just a string of videos, you know, name it Frogger, Gorf, all that. And I would sweep to get enough quarters to play videos all day long.
Okay.
And work. But that's what people would do. And Ness, I know you were building probably an anthology of music all your life, and you counted on my dad because my dad was a hustler. He's always had new stuff. You could go through people from Soundgarden. A lot of people have always come into his store to pick out.
So I'll make an admission. There are a couple of record stores. There was Bart over at he was on Harford Road right by the Hacienda. His name was Bart. Music something. I've lost the name of it. The Vinyl Discoveries. Vinyl. You don't like your hat on?
No,
look good.
Man. Yeah.
All right, now you look more like Tom Cruise. So I went over to Vinyl Discoveries. There was my friend Chris Armbruster, who... had Musical Escape, I think it was called, on Charles Street, right in sort of Mount Vernon by the cathedral.
Uh-huh.
And then your dad was in Highland Town, and your dad was by Epstein's, kind of, sort of, you know, yeah. Like up in the second block. He began on the left. Before I knew him, I bought Van Halen 1 from him. I bought Saxon. He would get imports, Saxon imports from Europe, like Wheels of Steel and Denim and Leather and Strong Arm of the Law. You can look these albums up now. I know some shit about metal now. Don't tell me.
Yeah, man.
So
that was you just blew through some Saxon albums right there. I haven't even thought about it. I don't think I've said that.
Stop! Get out! We are the Strong Arm of...
What about Fastway? Were you in a Fastway, too?
Strangers, well, Fastway. I saw Fastway open for AC/DC. They only had one hit, Fastway.
So,
God, you're older than I think you. I always think of you as being 12. It's crazy.
Well, because you know why? So my younger brothers, Steven and Michael, they were really lingering around those stores a lot at that time. And you could have bumped into a lot of us at each time. I caught up with you later in life. You don't think you caught up with my brothers?
No, I didn't know you as a kid, I don't think. I'm pretty sure I didn't. So his store was originally on the south side of Eastern Avenue, and it moved to the north side of Eastern Avenue
right.
at some point.
Right.
Your dad's store was called
Music. Oh, go ahead. You were there.
No, go ahead.
Music Outlet.
Okay. I've lost all the names.
Origin story named after the same dog, Mo. M-O?
M-O.
So that's what he named. And that was our derby.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your dad always had used CDs and stuff. So I was the music critic at the Evening Sun. Okay? Mm-hmm. So it's the late 80s, 86, 87, 88, 89. CDs are just coming online. Your dad had a lot of cassettes. I mean, cassettes were still a thing in the 80s, boomboxes and like that. Albums, sure. I mean, they were sort of ubiquitous. DVDs weren't just started to happen, 84, 85. And then you could get used CDs, whatever. But CDs were $15, and they were shiny, and they were sexy, and you wanted to touch them or not touch them and treat them like they were, you know.
The long box. Remember the long?
Long boxes, the whole deal, right? So your dad, I would bring, as the music critic, I got boxes of free stuff. So I would have stacks of CDs I did not want.
Right.
Right? And what I would do is I would bring them to Larry or Bart or Chris based on what they bought. So Chris was in Mount Vernon. He was in the new wave, you know, jazz stuff. Stuff that people in Mount Vernon would want downtown in 1990. Your dad had all the metal and all that, right. and all the Alternative and Cure and right, Echo and the right. Bunnymen. And there was a hodgepodge of different stuff. And, you know, your dad would take Julio Iglesias. He would sell it in Island Town. Yeah, everybody is in Island Town, right? So what I would do, and I never took a nickel. I was proud of this because I had ethics. I worked at the paper. I didn't want to take money. Your dad never pulled a dollar out of his pocket and gave it to me. And I'm not sure that after I got Saxon and, like, I was a customer, your dad became a guy that I would come in and he'd say, 5, 4, 6, 3... I'll give you a dollar for that one. That's pretty good, your dad, right? That's not a bad Larry.
Sounded really, dude.
It's not bad, is it?
That was really good.
I'm channeling your father right now.
That
so I'm trying
really
to
good.
Channel your father in front of you. All right.
Give me a dollar.
It's $67.50. I like you, kid. I'll give you $75, all right? Just go pick some stuff out. You bring it up here. Whatever you pick out, man.
So right.
So that's what he would do for me, right?
Right. Right.
And he'd be behind the counter with the dog, have some sweatshirt on.
Right.
Shave 3 days ago always. It was always 3 days shaved. Sounded like you today.
They're perpetual, like, after.
Loved your father. Your father loved me.
Yeah,
like,
did.
Your father loved me. So,
he definitely did.
This story about your father passing came to me. I was at the Marriott on Wednesday night, and I said, I wasn't feeling like going. I wasn't feeling like being me that night.
Yeah.
My wife's like, come on, we'll see some fun people. And I wound up having a great time. We wound up dancing for the first time since the plague. My wife and I got out. The band was so good, we ripped it up.
Right.
And I ran into a friend of yours who's a Facebook friend of mine, Erica, and she told me the story of the tragedy of your father. So I just, like, reached to you. You're like, hey. I'm like, hey, and that's Lumineers or ho, and then hey, and then here, you're here. So I did something for your dad today to honor your dad. I'm going to show it to you right now. It's not going to make you cry. It's probably going to make you think of a guitar riff. But I've gotten into collecting these belt buckles, and I thought of your father the last 6 months. I probably think of him every day because I've become addicted to getting on eBay and buying these belt buckles that people don't want from the 70s. And your dad had them.
Yeah.
For sure, your dad 100%. Had them. So today, I could have worn anyone, and Smolin's here, and I should have worn the Foreigner for him because he loves Foreigner and Jukebox Hero.
Uh-huh.
But this is the one I wore. This is my belt buckle today.
Oh, man.
I wore this for Larry.
You got Pete.
I got Pete, and I figure, you know, if you're bringing Frampton with you, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's cool. I remember those, you know. He had so many collectibles, patches. I saw wasp patches laying around my mom's old house.
Your dad had patches. He was the patch king.
Had a ton of them. He had a ton of
them. Well, everybody
cards,
had the
playing
denim.
Card. He had playing cards. I mean, so much merch that, like, and it's probably
you
worth
could only
so much.
Get.
Yeah, it's probably worth a lot
dude,
of money.
If you just would have locked that up in 1990 and put it away and just gone away for 30 years, and you and I.
He still got 15,000 albums. I mean, vinyl, towards the end, he started becoming, like, obsessed with.
Oh, really?
Started collecting again.
Tell me about your dad the last 20 years. Just give me, like, because the gods were, like, his thing, right?
Yeah, and it's funny, we haven't talked
about
that.
And by the way, Jay Moore did a beautiful piece. So if people want to read about Larry Kessler, my dude, his dad, please go check it out at Jay Moore's. It made me cry yesterday, but I'm not going to cry here, Chloe. Don't let me do it. All right.
Not today.
That's right. Right.
Just give me another Kieran, and I'm good.
So, I called my mom at probably very late last night. She lives in Florida now. My dad and mom had moved to Florida in August. They were more than just snowbirds. They were like permanent.
Gone.
Yeah. And so I called my mom at 12 o'clock. She's an educator, and I just totally lost it. Called. I said, "Mom, you know what? I'm going to be on a radio show tomorrow. You know with who?" She was like, "Well, I said, "Nestor. Nasty Nestor." I said, "I'm going to be on." She was, "Oh my. Well, do you know what you're going to say? Because I could tell you what, you know, there's a lot of stuff. You got to talk about the music.
Training the sales trainer?
Training. And she's telling me. And, you know, so my dad was in a psychedelic rock band, avant-garde rock band in the late 60s, 70s, New York, Lower East Side of Manhattan, right? The God.
So he had stories.
Right. So he had stories. He had albums. Started at Sam Goody. He's been in music in one facet in his entire life. You know, he played violin as a kid. You know, I used to say, "Just let me hear you play guitar." He'd never play guitar in front of me, and I knew why. Probably stunk. Now, but he was a lead singer guy, and these guys were abstract. They were into a lot of funky stuff, and they'd go out and play. And Lester Bangs wrote about him, said it was the worst band he ever saw.
Yeah, right.
But there's something unique about them, even though they're incompetent at their incompetent at their instrument. You know, they're playing.
It's like a Cheech and Chong movie come to life,
right? And so I'll give you just the quickest fast story on this Nest. You take the 5-6 CD changer that everyone had back in early 90s. You know the 5-6.
I need to order a beer. I need one more. Kieran, go ahead.
So there's Pearl Jam 10 in there, and maybe a Cranberries CD, you know, whatever.
It was lingering.
A little Toadies in there, and my dad's God CD. Well, this thing would change through the night. Well, one of my friends wakes up, my buddy Dan wakes up in the middle, and I'm like, "Gessler, what's the matter? Something's going on, man. What kind of music do you have?" And it's chickens. It's chickens making noise, them screaming, "I'm a bird," instruments, violin being played abrasively. And I'm like, "Oh, but sorry, that's my dad's band that I was telling you about.
We
picked it up at the Princeton Record Exchange." I said, "Here's my dad's CD. I found it. I'm flipping through the G section."
You call it avant-garde. It was more experimental.
That's the word.
Still an experiment. The gods.
Yeah.
Are they on YouTube? Can I?
You can YouTube all their stuff. I mean, like, you check out Radar Eyes, Gods, G-O-D-Z, and you'll get the best sample.
I've never listened.
And it's a video. Get ready to get your mind blown. My dad's in it. It's in the early 70s. I don't know what they're rolling.
Film?
It looks like they were rolling something, but you got to check out the whole thing. It's really wild. And they're playing the music, and it's Radar Eyes, which was like a weird cut. It's not the Radar Eyes we know.
Right.
It was theirs, but it's a ride. You know, listen to their music is like a ride. So,
well, I knew talking about your dad would make me smile, so I'm glad we're smiling.
Yeah.
We lost him in a tragedy 2 months ago. I hope you're doing okay, man.
I hope
your brothers, your family, your mom, everybody. But I loved your dad. I just wanted to tell you that personally. I told you on text. I kind of lost it at the party. And I'm like, I said, "I need a minute. I need to take a walk here. This is not cool."
Yeah.
And I just thought about it, and I swear I think of your father because I want to get in the car. I want to drive to Highland Sound and say, "Hey, Larry, you got any of these belts? I need some of these belts. You got any of these belts? Here, let me show you. Hold on. Oh, Christ. Let me take a look at that." This is a 1976 Pacifica belt. And this is legitimately what the kind of stuff your old man would have trafficked in, and he would say, "Oh, I remember those belts. I had a Zeppelin one." This is what he would have said, right?
Right. Yeah.
And
right. He had one that just, I think it was like just the word Elvis.
Oh,
and it was
of
like
course.
It was just like a, you know.
$29.95 right now on eBay. You can bet it up to $32 if you get a chance.
Right. High Fidelity does the record store kind of justice a little bit, if you've seen that,
right,
with John Cusack.
Sure.
But when that movie, I saw that with my dad in the theater, but I remember
he's holding the record,
he's kind of combing it, and I forget what part it was.
Thank you so much.
But there's a part where Jack Black won't sell someone an album, right? Guy comes up with an album, he's, "Larry, how much?" There's no price on it. And I just remember my dad just doing the poker face. They put his fingers up. Eight.
Eight.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was like he thought he was the Beckett, right? He knew with the
right,
everything
exactly.
was priced, you know.
That kick sticker's now $1.50.
You know, he was starting.
They got a hit now.
He was starting to, you know, he had been going to Manta Ray Records downtown. It's a studio there, and some guys were helping polish some of his music, which was pretty cool. As a matter of fact, you know, very interesting thing to bookend kind of his life with music. His last day was in front of the studio, and that's where the tragedy, you know, right there in Baltimore. So it was like a really tough thing. But I always think about it like this, you know. We didn't want him to really even go out that night. I've got to finish up this record. I want to work on this, mix it up. And we're like, all right, he's got to do what he wants to do. My mom wanted to go. She didn't.
Your dad was 80, huh?
80 years old, nah, October. Man. He'll be 81 October, yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, I don't even know what to say. I mean,
you said it all, man. This is a great tribute, man.
I love your father, man.
Yeah, this means a lot to me.
And every time I order a belt and I get a belt now, it's just weird. Like, I don't know why I associated with him. And there was a shop in Highlandtown called Paper Doll when I was a boy, right?
Yeah.
Marty Balestrieri had that. And this was the kind of stuff that he had, too. He had baseball cards, right? Your dad was all music and all music people. Yeah. He had some music and some Playboys and some baseball. It was a collectibles, and it was a
novelty type store.
A novelty store, but memorabilia before memorabilia was Marilyn Monroe posters on, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
But in the 80s, the 50s were the throwback, right? You know,
right.
And now we see stuff like this from the 70s. This belt buckle is 45 years old. I mean, and I say to my wife, so what? It's $30. I just want it. I want to wear it. And I got rid of all of my autographs, all the stuff that, I mean, your father probably gave me posters and different stuff that wound up getting autographed. My Till Tuesday album signed by Amy Mann, you know, whatever that kind of stuff that I had laying around.
Yeah.
I didn't liquidate it. I just wanted it to be on the wall in a bar somewhere in Brooklyn if somebody wanted it to be up, because it was in a drawer and worth a grand, you know, some autographed Billy Joel flat or just different stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't have a place to display it or desire to display it. I did that at the radio station when I was 25. These stupid belt buckles are like, I wear them every day. And I've gotten to the point where some people say, which one you got today? I wore my Yes belt buckle Thursday, on the day that Alan White died. I was wearing my Yes belt buckle the day
it happened.
And I missed a Foreigner for Smolin. Anybody knows Smolin, let him know that I'm sorry about Foreigner. I'll wear it next time. But he knows.
I'd love to just talk about music with you, man. This has just been fun, just even the groups your name. And Amy Mann, I was, you know, just buying tickets for Steely Dan and Amy Mann. And
Steely Dan.
I'm the biggest Steely Dan fan.
Oh, my God. Dude. Don't tell me that.
No. You don't understand. Speaking of my father, he weaned me on it.
Dude,
I can't stop listening to it.
Dude, hold on. You're going to blow my mind. When I reached for my belt buckle today, the first belt buckle was, I said, I'm going to wear this one for Larry. I swear to God, the first belt buckle I grabbed was Steely Dan Asia. And it's the most valuable belt buckle I have.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Asia album from the first year. And I'm like, Larry was in the gods. He ain't listening to Steely Dan. I figured Larry would be more about wow.
Steely Dan and very close second, sometimes even ranks super.
For your dad.
For my dad is also Dire Straits. Dire Straits for that.
Yeah, Mark Knopfler was a dick to me one time. So
was he?
He was a dick to me. Yeah, he wasn't cool. He wasn't nice to me. I was a kid. I was just a kid, man. I was just a kid.
I just saw Donald Fagen and the gang at the Met. I saw the show.
I would have gone with you. Dude, I would have gone
next time.
Steely.
Well, Steely Dan, and now it was going to be Steve Winwood, but he's had some health issues.
Today the 28th of May. I'm not
27.
Kidding. We got time.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, Steely Dan and Steve Winwood are playing the Hollywood Bowl. You can look it up. I know this for. I was going to go to L.A. this weekend because I've never been to the Hollywood Bowl, and I've always wanted to go. And I thought Steely Dan at the Hollywood Bowl doing, you know, Babylon Sisters.
So good, though.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean?
But
Drive
he's like
West on Sunset. Little, you know, come on, man.
Yeah. Oh, they, you know, and every time
you're jungle music down. Yeah.
They played Pretzel. They played the Pretzel Logic almost half
I saw
the album.
They did Asia the night I saw them.
They covered an album the night I was there. I think they covered Pretzel Logic beginning and end.
Came this close to seeing them at the Beacon a couple years ago. My wife and I saw them at the Lyric.
Oh,
they played the Lyric about right before the plague.
Right.
I put a lot of video up on that night. They played FM that night, which I thought was awesome.
Nice.
My wife likes what's her tune? Oh, God, it's the one with the girl singing in the background. Not Babylon Sisters. I got to Google it. Anyway, my wife loves Steely Dan.
Haitian Divorce, that's a good tune. You ever heard that?
We're going to go see Steely Dan again.
We should, man. I would love to do that.
Oh, you got to wear that jacket though, dude.
Oh, man, this thing, this is like my, you know, this this makes it to trainings. This makes it on planes. This thing, and you know what? It was never tailored. It probably should have been, but, you know, my weight goes up, it goes down, but this thing never leaves.
Where did you wrestle?
I wrestled at Rider University in New Jersey.
But what high school?
Owings Mills.
Owings Mills.
Home of the 11-time state champs, the Golden Eagles, you know?
Your father bragged on you guys all, yeah, my kids, man, they're a hell of a wrestler. Yeah, I know you're into sports, Ness. You gotta come see my boys, you know?
You know, I'm
that's not a bad Larry, is it?
No, that's a really good Larry. My,
it's too good or bad?
No, I think it's really good. Okay. I think it's really good.
I haven't talked to your father in 25 years.
What I didn't like is when he would have people at the store, and he'd say, Greg, come here. And I'd come out from the back store, play a video game. Take a shirt off. Flex for Bill and John. And I go, what do you mean, flex? Take your shirt. Looking at me. I go, all right.
Take it. All right, Dad.
And I, but, you know, we were like, but we wrestled with each other. You know, we had each other, you know. And my brothers and I were you know, and every brother had the expectation. You know, I wanted to, you know,
where were you in the pecking?
Well, I did pretty good.
You,
right?
Jan, where are you? Number three, four? Where were you in the number?
Oh, as far as kid, talent,
yeah, youngest. Youngest.
Oh, so my dad's first marriage, he had a son, Paul. Okay, I don't know how old Paul might be, 70 now. I don't know. And then he had Eric, Billy, and Kevin. Okay, now they grew up in East Baltimore.
Okay,
they were New York boys. They were born in New York.
Your father,
like my dad,
fell in love with Baltimore, right?
Fell in love with Baltimore. He was born in New York City. He was born in New York, and so were his first three sons. Actually, four sons, and then he met my mother in Pittsburgh, where I'm born, and then we had you know, Greg, Steve, and Mike. So I'm a firstborn, my mom and dad together, but I'm in the middle of the Kessler Seven.
Right.
So, yeah.
But of the brothers in your family, you were the oldest.
Yes.
So the other ones were shooting for you.
Right. So yeah. So
they were always trying to kick your ass. Yeah. They couldn't.
So I'm 3.5 years older than my brother. Here's what we did one time, Ness. We were at some place where they made, it was probably a state fair, carnival, something. And my brother Kevin and I, my older half brother, we'd both been state champions. All right, in high school, and Steve was in sixth or seventh grade, but he'd always taken third, second, everything but first. So we walk over to this guy who's making buttons, and we say, hey, we should get a picture together and give it to Dad. And so we clipped the thing, and we made this button, and it's a picture of Kevin and Greg. He said, hey, Dad, when you wear your Reynoldstown Optimist wrestling jacket, you know, wear your state champs on. And we said it right in front of Steve. Wear your state champs. Well, he started crying. He started getting really upset. This SOB goes 4 years undefeated in high school, 148-0.
Pissed him off.
Never lost a match. Now, when I came back from Ryder, and I'm winning my conference tournament, you know, hero home, everybody's like, hey, could you get out of the way? We want to get a picture of Steve, right? And they said, hey, you were pretty good too, weren't you? I'm like, I'm wrestling Division I in North Jersey.
We don't know about that.
I don't know about that. And then Michael.
It didn't hit the Jewish Times that It's true, though, right?
Wasn't it? Right. Wasn't this? Lem wasn't covering it. Lem actually did cover a lot of the guys that went off.
Well, see, your dad knew about that because I covered high school sports in those days,
right,
too.
Right.
Hey, you're at the paper. Yeah. Tell them about my kids. I want to see a story, you right, know, right, like, right? Right? I mean, it's a little bit.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure. I can't tell you how many times my mom used to do stuff like that, but she'd call the school. And, you know, I'm new in a middle school. Don't forget to congratulate Greg Kessler at 65 pounds, who won the Stephen J. Welsh Memorial. Meanwhile, all day long, you know, I got a tag on my back. I got, hey, you used to wrestle. People are grabbing me in the hall. That was my.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, Mom, don't call the school. Don't, please.
Please.
Let me
be. I'm good. Yeah. I've got enough accolades.
Yeah, Jesus.
Greg Kessler's our guest. His dad, Larry, is my friend. We've been friends for years. You sell for a living. Sandler sales. You need some sales training, find Greg, and he will find you. We're at Nick's Grandstand Grill. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Betty Boop's with us. We got our Goodwill truck here as well. I'm wearing my Window Nation hat. Appreciate our sponsors for putting this on. Tommy stopped by. Leonard Raskin's here. Chris Pike is going to take us out of here. I just want to ask you, and I'm serious as a heart attack.
Yes, we're going to go to Steely Dan. Yes.
If I would have stood up after you said Steely Dan
I probably would have not leaved. I would have watched every one of your shows today. I'd follow you out to the parking lot.
It just was, I can't believe I didn't wear it because I just thought, this is too soft for Larry. I swear to God, I thought this is too soft for Larry. I almost wore my car's belt buckle, but I was trying to come up with something that would be Larry associated, but I figured there was never a time in Larry's life that he didn't have some copy of I'm In You left over from 1978 that didn't sell.
That's right.
Because that album was a turd.
Yeah.
For Peter Frampton.
Right, yeah, Frampton.
Biggest flop in the history of flops.
Yeah.
Who's I'm In You?
Yeah. He played Kid Charlemagne for me one day. And when it opened my eyes to Steely Dan, like I knew Dirty Work, you know.
Dirty Work's my wife's favorite song. That's it.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's a great song, though.
That's my wife's favorite song.
Can't Buy a Thrill album. It's a great album too, right?
When that's Josie comes home. All right.
Yeah, this is.
We'll sit here and sing Steely Dan songs online, right?
Yeah. Well,
Static at all.
No static at all.
AM. All right. Break.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Go enjoy your friends. Where are your friends? They your friends leave you.
They, you know what? I think they were afraid we were going to maybe yank them in, pull them in, have them say a few words. They're pretty introverted.
Did they love Larry too?
My buddy Guy over there. He got to know my dad pretty well towards the end there. He'd come to visit. You know, the crazy thing, Ness, he was on vacation, man. He was coming to see us. You know, he moved down.
Right.
That's another. You know. But again, man, like we're all shining through him, man. You know, we're living through him. And listen, this tribute, this commemorative moment we're having about him, I'm really grateful. Even socializing some things I haven't thought about in a while, and you know, in
like
talking
Steely
about
Dan,
including Steely Dan, and including you know his music, and it's been great, man.
All right, I'm googling the Steely Dan date. You and I are going to do it. We're going to go to New York and do it right.
All
drink
right,
the
Ness.
Good stuff.
Yes, appreciate it, man.
Greg Kessler. Wrestling champion, friend. You don't have to drop mic.
Yeah. Oh,
we can just take a break. Is that right?
Mic drop. Yeah, no, we can take a break.
God, he dresses like Bill Murray and just it's crazy. I am Nestor. We are WNSD. Back for more from Nick's Grandstand Grill. We're having some fun around here. Stay with us on the holiday.